But we're only trying to defend you. Next on Principles and Policies. Welcome to today's edition of Principles and Policies. I'm your host, Barry Sheets, the Executive Director of the Institute for Principles and Policy. And along with me today, as usual, is our co-host, my Vice Chairman at the Institute, fellow analyst, and very good friend, Chuck Michaels.
Sitting here again in the studio / library, looking over the Constitution and saying tisk, tisk, tisk to the story we're about to go over today.
But Chuck, why are you tisking? Really? Again, the American people deserve to be assured that actions taken in their defense are consistent with their values and their laws. You know what? U.S. Attorney General Eric Holder made that comment here recently, and we should all feel good about it. We should feel warm inside and feel a sense of security, sort of like a nice warm blanket being wrapped around us. Or maybe it's more like a sheet pulled up over our heads as we pronounce us dead from being killed by U.S. forces because we've been suspected of terrorism.
Well, he also said this: the president is not required by the Constitution to delay action until some theoretical end stage planning when the precise time, place, and manner of an attack can become clear. No, but there is another intervening several clauses in the Constitution that don't allow the president to do that without congressional authorization.
Yeah, well, we don't need Congress for anything. That's why we have the president, right? Now, ladies and gentlemen, what we're talking about, and you probably caught a little bit of it. Okay, let's back up just a second. What we're talking about here is some comments that United States Attorney General Eric Holder, you remember him from Fast and Furious and lying to Congress, he got in front of Western University's law school in Chicago and giving a speech. And in that speech, he said, well, by and large, I'm not quoting him verbatim, but let's just say what he said, that the U.S. government has the right to order the killing of American citizens. Now, he didn't qualify by saying overseas. And it's interesting because this was in context of the Anwar al-Awlaki situation, which we've talked about to some extent on this program. But honestly, you know, let's look at the quibble words that our Attorney General Holder has been using to try to defend what, well, we here at the Institute would say is indefensible.
Oh, absolutely. I'm sort of taken aback and dumbfounded by what he claims here. Honestly, I would love to know what the law student's reaction is, but since it was at a law school, and since law schools do not require students to actually read the Constitution, I would be shocked if any of the law students there actually knew the first thing about little things in the Constitution, for instance, bills of attainder, letters of marque and reprisal, the fact that Congress is the only body that can issue a letter of marque and reprisal, and that attainders can only be done through trials in a courtroom. It wouldn't even be called a bill of attainder, because a bill of attainder is only passed by a legislature, and that's forbidden. You can only be attainted by a jury in a federal court.
That's right. But again, you're doing something, Chuck, and before we started doing this program, you had to go and step away and look through your library to find a little document. It's called the Constitution of the United States, but you're the only one in the room who's looking at it, Charles. Attorney General Holder's not looking at the Constitution. The courts are not looking at the Constitution. And I'll guarantee you, as much as I know, the President of the United States is not looking at the United States Constitution when they're trying to put a spin on this issue. And basically, that's what Holder was really doing. This happened Monday. He was at Northwestern Law School, and he was giving a speech. And basically, he used that opportunity as a way to put their messaging out from the administration to explain why they did what they did when they sent CIA unmanned drones into Yemen to assassinate an American citizen. Now, again, this case is an interesting case. We've talked about it before because Awlaki was still an American citizen. He had decided to go and work with or for al-Qaeda, but there was no indication and no evidence that we can see he actually had done anything as far as putting American citizens in harm's way or actually killing any American citizens, which would have been a treasonous act. But, of course, he also was never tried, convicted by the courts of the crime of treason. He was just chosen by the administration, and that was part of what Holder was doing here. They're trying to build a case or at least a popular opinion case, for why having a hand-selected, unaccountable group of advisors make hit lists of American citizens is okay because, as he says, and I quote, that we're going to assure them that the actions taken in the American citizens' defense are consistent with their values and their laws. Now, Chuck, that one stopped me for a second.
Yep, exactly.
Because Eric Holder, if I remember correctly, is an American citizen. So why would, if he's speaking for the United States president and the administration of the United States president, would he be talking about it in the indirect way of saying their values and their laws? What about our values and our laws, and if we speak about the American people? It almost seems like they're totally detached, even from the basis of the American experience, to say that, well, you guys have got your values and your laws, and we're going to try to send it to think that it's coherent with that, even though what we're doing really isn't.
If we're going to talk about the rule of law, let's go back and look at Article 6 of the Constitution.
Sure.
Article 6 is very clear. The Constitution and the laws of the United States, which shall be made in pursuance thereof. A very important clause in that phrase,
yes,
in pursuance to the Constitution. All laws must be made in pursuance. And all treaties made or which shall be made under the authority of the United States shall be the supreme law of the land. So the Constitution of the United States of America and all laws made in pursuance to that document, in other words, according to the limitations of the power in it, and not only that, the enumerated powers and the limitations to other powers within it, are the highest law of the land. Now, what is Holder saying here, Barry?
He's saying that whatever we decide is the law, is the law.
Bingo. That's exactly what he's saying.
The Constitution doesn't matter one bit. The law is what we say it is, nothing less and nothing more. It's sort of like
now,
my favorite quote from Alice in Wonderland.
Let's jump over again to Article 1. All legislative powers herein granted shall be vested in a Congress of the United States, which shall consist of a Senate and a House of Representatives. What does that mean?
That means that the only place the law can be made is in the Congress.
Exactly.
Can't be made by the president, can't be made by the Attorney General of the United States.
That's right. They can try to claim that the Congress has given them the authority to make these decisions through some kind of an act. Let's say some kind of an act calling for action against Al-Qaeda or whatever. But the fact is that there is nowhere in the Constitution that the Congress is given the power to hand its power, pardon me, given the authority to hand its power directly to the president without any intervention. What Holder is talking about doing is doing what's called exercising a letter of marque or reprisal.
Yes.
And that is an act against someone who is engaging in what amounts to piracy. And as we talked about in the Al-Awlaki case, Al-Awlaki essentially met the criteria to be considered a pirate. He was someone who was living outside the jurisdiction of the United States, had been declared an outlaw, essentially. Although, you know, what amazes me in this case is no one can tell me what crime Al-Awlaki actually committed. Absolutely nowhere has anyone said he planned a bombing, he participated in a bombing, he planned an assassination, he participated in an assassination, he assaulted anybody. Nobody can even show me where he spit on the sidewalk.
Doesn't matter, Chuck. Doesn't matter, because Holder explained all that in his speech. He basically laid out, he said, okay, here's how we decide when somebody is a quote-unquote imminent threat. Said that the factors included the relevant window of opportunity to act, the possible harm that missing the window of opportunity would cause to civilians, and the likelihood of heading off future disastrous attacks. You know, he throws in the extra modifier, disastrous attacks, against the United States. Chuck, it's all presumptive. It's all relevant window of opportunity. Relevant to what? He's disassociating it from the rule of law. The possible harm of missing the window of opportunity, not the harm that could happen if somebody set off a bomb, but just the harm if we miss this opportunity to preemptively kill an American citizen. And then he says, it's better, Chuck. He says the president's not required by the Constitution to delay action until some theoretical end stage of planning when the precise time, place, and manner of an attack becomes clear. Well, you know, what logical fallacy is he engaging in here?
Oh, well.
It's an indirect appeal.
Yeah, it's an appeal to fear. It's not even an indirect appeal to fear. It's a direct appeal to fear.
Well, he was probably smooth enough with it, so it didn't sound like he was actually trying to get you scared, but that's the flavor you're left with. If we wait too long, then it could be disastrous.
Well, let's point out that yesterday we also talked about the movie Minority Report, and we are anticipating criminal activity, and therefore we're going to have to do a preemptive strike. And then again, we also talked about profiling. So Holder is basically saying is they've created a profile of someone who's likely to engage in criminal or terroristic activities, and therefore we're going to do a preemptive strike before they do it. And then he tacitly, well, he didn't even tacitly, this is an admission, this quote that you just read, and I used at the beginning, is an admission that that's exactly what we're going to go start doing preemptive strikes on these guys before they do anything. It's one thing to catch them in the act of getting ready to commit a strike and doing a police action on that basis. But it's another thing to say, well, there's a possibility they're going to do this and therefore we're going to kill them. No, that's not the way this works. Again, as I said, Al-Awlaki was essentially a pirate. The way you deal with piracy is written in the Constitution. Congress issues a letter of marque and reprisal.
That's true.
And what that does is that authorizes a legal action. Now, the main thing to do that is for was to recover property or recover damages for people who had been damaged by the actions of this pirate. Well, the fact is, so far we've seen Al-Awlaki caused exactly what damage?
None that we could tell.
None. So yeah, none.
Well, but you know what? Attorney General Holder's got you beat there, too. Because this is how he framed it. Because when you start talking about the Constitution and whether you got to go to Congress or to the courts, he basically says that, well, when the administration does their review of the facts in the executive branch, that's due process. And the Fifth Amendment doesn't mandate a judicial process. So it's okay if we do it. And when we come down to it and say, yeah, we did due process, that's fine. And he says, where national security operations are at stake, due process takes into account the obvious of combat. Some have argued that the president is required to get permission from a federal court before taking action against the United States citizen. That would be us, Chuck, you and me. We've been arguing that. Who's the senior operations leader of Al-Qaeda or Associated Forces? He adds that little modifier on there, but that doesn't even matter. He says this is an act. That's what he says. The Attorney General is saying that the belief that we have a Constitution that says that if you're going to charge somebody with treason or go after them, you have to give them due process, which is in front of a court of law or in front of a judge to get a ruling. And we'll talk in the past about ruling and having more than one witness. That's not accurate. Because when it's national security, the executive branch can take all of that on themselves and they can be the judge, jury, and in this case, executioner.
Yeah, and of course, where does he want to go to get permission? He wants to go to a court. Sorry, Attorney General Holder, read the Constitution. You have to go get the permission of Congress.
Congress, that's right.
The courts have no say whatsoever. The court's job is to try these guys if you can capture them. That should be your entire effort should be put forth to capture these people. And if you can't capture them, and if they do become a danger and you can prove it, take it to Congress and ask for a letter of marque and reprisal. Until that point, you are in violation of the highest law in the land, that which makes you the criminal.
And that's where we left. I believe that what we have is an attorney general who's decided that the law is what we say it is, nothing less and nothing more, and waving that document in front of our faces because we don't believe it has authority.
And what else is new? Especially with this administration, Barry, we've had administrations for the last 80 years have been thumbing their nose at the highest law in the land. But this one is very blatant about it. As far as they're concerned, they are openly saying that they are doing things to bypass the highest law in the land. They have no respect whatsoever for the Constitution. At least previous administrations paid a grudging, meaningless respect to the Constitution. These guys have no respect for it whatsoever.
That's unfortunately what we're dealing with. But Chuck, you know what? Until the American people step up and start demanding of their Congress people to use the checks and balances that are in the document to keep a runaway executive, from becoming judge, jury, and executioner, we're going to get more of the same.
Yeah. With that, we're out of time. Please join us again tomorrow for another Principles and Policies.